This is Ready Radio, preparing you to be ready for anything. Now, here's your survival guide for Ready Radio, John Rush.
All right, welcome to Ready Radio, KLZ 560. I appreciate y'all listening very much. Today is a live show on December the 8th. So if you happen to be listening to a replay of our program, you'll know what day it happens to be. And this show does play at other times, but you will at least know what's going on, you know, at the moment as we do this particular program. So yes, December the 8th. I've got several things in store for you today. And if you've ever got a question, just go to our website, ready-radio.com. We got a special guest because he's actually going to be in town. Or Sean, are you actually in town or are you on your way to town?
I am quasi in town. I'm down in Colorado Springs right now on my way to West Cliff.
Nice. So Sean, I'm sure I'm going to get your last name wrong. Is it Tario? Am I saying that right?
Tario, tomato, tomato.
Okay. All right. Well, Tario, appreciate it very much. And Sean, you are, well, you know what? Before I go on, you've got a digital privacy training boot camp that you're doing. I'll let you, you know, give folks your website, how to find you, and so on. But number one, talk about this particular boot camp and what's going to be going on and how people can attend.
Sure. Well, let me ask you this. If you know, I think your audience and you would probably agree that we're at war right now.
Agree.
Right, with enemies both foreign and domestic, right?
Right.
And if I gave you a weapon while we're at war, and I said that this weapon I'm going to give you has a GPS tracking device on it, a camera, and a microphone, and all of that information is being fed to the enemy, and by the way, I'm not going to even train you too much on how to use this thing, would you take that into combat?
Of course not.
Of course not. And yet, that is literally what you carry around in your pocket all day, every day, and what you likely have sitting on your desktop all day, every day
right.
at work. That's running your Google Android, that's
Correct.
Running your iOS, that's
Correct.
Running your Windows operating systems.
Yeah, and really quick, in essence, and we'll get into this in a moment, but in essence, there's not really too many individuals out there that don't have what you just said.
Exactly. Yeah, and everyone knows it, right? You ask anybody, hey, when was the last time you said something near your phone and you saw an advertisement for
right.
it, you know, within
right.
24, 48 hours? Everyone raises their hand.
Correct.
And so people know that these things are listening to their conversations all day, every day. But what they really don't understand is the technology. They don't understand the operating system and how important that is. And the key thing that they don't get is that by having Google or Apple owning that operating system, or Microsoft, if you've got a laptop
Correct.
That's running Windows, they own that device.
Yes,
it
they do.
Their device.
You're essentially leasing it is all you're doing.
Exactly.
You're renting
you're
renting
user,
it maybe is
right?
a better
you're
way to
product.
Say it, Sean.
Yeah. So you're the product. They are making money off of all of the data that they are mining off of you.
That's right.
Yes, what you're buying,
That's
what
correct.
You're saying, because they can use that with their intelligence gathering for artificial intelligence and making their AI even smarter and more realistic and lifelike. So they're just grabbing all of this data and they're monetizing that data. So really what this training is about is first and foremost educating people on how this is happening, why it's happening, how long it's been going on, so that people can start to explain this to their neighbors, to their family, to their friends. And then what we dig into in the training is, well, what can we do about it? Because there's actually a lot of things that we can do about it. But the first thing, people just need to be aware, right? Like any addict, and you know, most people are addicted to these devices.
Right.
We're all addicts. So the first thing is you have to acknowledge that you have a problem. Acknowledge that these companies have spent literally over $1 trillion over the last decade on trying to make you addicted to these.
Yeah, actually,
devices.
Sean, I'll add to that, not to correct you, but decades, plural.
Say that again?
I said not to say decade, decades. They've been working on this for a very long time. I mean, I'm old enough to remember when we didn't have these devices around, but from the minute they started becoming more and more popular, even all the way back to the day we had pagers, this is what's been happening.
Yes. Yeah, where I was going with that is that it's $1 trillion spent in just the last decade.
Amazing.
If we go longer, we're talking even more money.
That's right.
We've got the best and the brightest minds.
That's right.
Who have been literally trying to make kids, babies, adults, all ages addicted to these things. And it's what we call effectively Stockholm Syndrome.
There you go.
Stockholm Syndrome.
There you go. Yes, yes.
This is where the, you know, the person who's held captive starts falling in love with or starts sympathizing with their captor.
Right. Right. Right.
And so we have people who are kind of like Gollum from Lord of the Rings, who just are so they don't want to give up the precious, right? Their device is so precious to them that they can't give it up. And they just refuse to stop using all of these things. And for me, it's like having a conversation with someone who will talk to me all day long about how Pfizer is corrupt and evil and how, you know, the COVID vaccines were just a means to an end and a Hegelian dialectic. And then they're going to start telling me about how they're going to go get their booster shot. And I'm like, wait a second. There's a disconnect here.
Right.
I don't get it.
Right.
You just explained to me exactly why all this stuff makes no sense and that you're going to
And that one, Sean, I, again, do this on a, you know, literally 6-day-a-week basis. And I those same thoughts cross my head. And again, I'm not one, and you know, maybe you are, but I'm not. I'm not one to say that all of this is bad. It depends on how it's being used, just like any other tool that's out there. Are you using it correctly or are you not using it correctly? To your point, and this is, I think, what you're getting at and what you do in your seminars, is training people what they can and can't do and how to avoid the pitfalls, right?
100%. You nailed it. Because technology isn't something that we should fear and run away from.
Agree.
It's just something
Thank
that
you.
We need to be educated about. It's like, you know, it's like firearms.
Right. Right. There you go. Good example.
Firearms in the hands of the wrong person with the wrong motives can be very deadly and dangerous.
Great example.
So can technology, and so is technology.
Yes, that's right.
And that's
great example.
That's really a lot of what I try to explain to people, is that digital privacy and security is no different than physical privacy and security.
Correct.
And that there's many nuances. You know, there's lots of different rabbit holes that you can go down. You can become a pro jujitsu, or you can become pro in, you know, firearms. You can become pro in all these different areas. And it takes time. It's not like you just buy a gun and all of a sudden you can defend yourself.
Right.
You know, another great analogy that I use, you don't just buy a raised bed and then all of a sudden you're a homesteader and you're a master gardener.
Yeah, there you go.
It takes time.
Yes.
It takes education.
Yes.
You have to surround yourself with people who know what they're doing, who have been doing it for a while. So really the key here is learning about open source technologies and applications. Learning what an operating system is and why running an open source operating system that you control, that you have ownership over, is so much more effective, efficient, so much more protective for you and your own data sovereignty than letting Google, Apple, Microsoft, Amazon run these devices all over the place. So that's really, you know, what my mission is these days, is talking with patriots across the country that have groups that are worried and concerned about these things, getting them educated, helping arm them with the tools that they need so that they can communicate and be effective with one another. And
awesome.
A key thing here is people talk about, well, I use Signal or I use a encrypted messaging application, right? But think of this. If you and I are having a conversation and someone is in the middle of that conversation trying to steal the data, sure, it's encrypted. They're not going to be able to get access to it. But if I own your operating system and I see what you see and I hear what you hear, it doesn't matter that you're having an encrypted conversation, because I can see what you see on your end and hear what you hear on your end and record that conversation. So all those who are like, well, I use encrypted this, I use encrypted that, my first question is, well, what operating system are you?
Right. Right.
Because
a lot of this comes down to, I'm sure you talk about this in your seminar. Again, a lot of this just comes down to what conversations are you having, and you need to be careful what you're doing in that regard. To your point, they are listening.
Right. Right. Yeah, and it's again going back to physical security.
And some of this is mechanical as well, as not just the whole software end of it, I'm assuming, right, Sean?
Yeah, so the devices we use are installed with a operating system that's the most private and secure open source operating system on them.
Okay, and really quick, you say we. Today. You've got a Ghost phone that folks can actually acquire, and I'm assuming when you say we, that's what you're talking about, right?
Yeah, the we is the team that we've got, so it's not just me, but we have a team.
Okay.
And the devices we have phones and we have laptops currently. And then we have a variety of other, you know, services and devices that we offer, because a lot of people need migration support.
Right.
They're like, great, so I need to migrate out of my iCloud account or out of my Google account.
Right.
You know, I don't know anything about these things. help me. So we'll spend time with them over the phone or doing a virtual live call or even sometimes face-to-face if they're near a region where we have individuals that are available to do face-to-face meetings.
Really quick, when it comes to the phone aspect of it, and I've read ahead a little bit, so I sort of have read what you've got on the website, but I don't know exactly how all this works. When it comes to the cell carriers themselves, let's say somebody's with T-Mobile, Verizon, AT&T, whoever, does that change in that regard? And is there one that's better than another when it comes to that end of it?
Yeah, so two things there. Great question. The first is the devices themselves are carrier agnostic. So whether you're on PureTalk or Patriot Mobile or Verizon or T-Mobile or Cricket or whatever, it doesn't matter. You just take your SIM card out of your existing device, you put it into the new device, it'll come up and running without a problem. In some cases, every now and again, you need to notify the carrier, just let them know that you're on a new device, and it takes all of like 5 minutes and you're done.
Okay.
The other key thing to understand, you know, going through these layers of privacy and security, right? AT&T, T-Mobile, and Verizon are really a triopoly of carriers in the United States. They own and run the vast majority.
Yep, they own most of the towers.
Yes. Then what we have are what are called MVNOs, which are mobile virtual network operators. And all they're doing is buying wholesale from AT&T, Verizon, or T-Mobile.
That's right.
So Patriot Mobile, for example, they buy wholesale from all three carriers. So depending on who you are, where you're located, they'll then choose AT&T or Verizon or whatever, whoever has the best coverage in your area.
Right.
And then that's what they're going to be selling to you. The good thing is when they sell you a plan and you're working with them, they don't need to tell Verizon or T-Mobile or AT&T that your specific phone number is tied to your name at your address with your contact information.
I see.
So by working with one of these MVNOs, that's not directly owned by one of the big three, because that's a big, you have to always follow the money.
Just right.
As in life, right?
Right.
Follow the money. U.S. Cellular, for example, I believe is owned by AT&T. I could have that wrong. It's one of the big three.
Okay.
Cricket is like a brand of Verizon. So they're really just owned by those companies.
Just a subset.
Just a new brand. Exactly. For marketing reasons, they created a new brand after a different demographic.
Right.
So finding out an MVNO that will allow you to work with them that's not simply owned by one of the big three is important. The other cool thing is you can find some, primarily those who are resellers of T-Mobile, who will sell you a plan, a prepaid plan, so you can pay in advance for a month or 3 months or whatever, and they will give you a phone number without any information about you. So you don't have to tell them your name. You don't have to tell them your address, social security number, anything.
Got it.
Prepaid plan. They'll give you a SIM card with a phone number, and you're up and running. So that's another way to go about doing this. Again, layers of security,
right,
where you're adding another way to make sure that you're anonymous at the end of the day. Now, does that mean that the, you know, NSA and CIA and all these guys won't be able to find you?
Of course not.
The answer is no. Right?
Of course not.
You know, I can become a master marksman, right? And I could know jujitsu. But if someone has enough means and motive to try to take me out, they'll drop a bomb on my head and take
me
out.
That's right. Well, and that, you know, goes back to Charlie and I talk a lot about the particular show back in the day where I wish it would have continued on. I did one season to where they gave, you know, basically had people sign up. There were couples, teams, basically. And the goal was they'd take about six different teams. And the goal was who could stay off-grid longest without being found. And whoever stayed off the longest won the prize, so on and so forth. And Sean, the thing I learned a lot from watching that show is just how many ways they actually have of tracking you, minus the things even you and I are talking about right now.
Right, right. That's a key thing. I mean, I was literally just having this conversation with a customer of ours who's like, well, what about the hardware? Like, isn't the hardware spying and sniffing? And to some degree, yes, some of the hardware does do that. But you always have these degrees. Like, if you want to just go hide, you have to realize that satellites today can literally read the date on a dime, right? You go into any city, they've got cameras all over the place. And I have a handful of friends that are law enforcement. And they freely admit that they can easily tap into all of the cameras in all of the cities and type in a very few things, and
they
can spit out the results of who.
And by the way, everything, Sean, you're saying, I can verify. I ran automotive stores for a very long time, had some off-road centers and so on, and one of those happened to be in Boulder, Colorado, and we weren't far from, you know, Ball Aerospace and a lot of the tech that was in Boulder, Colorado, and throughout those years, and this was all the way back into the late 80s, all the way up until, you know, I sold out several years ago. Reality is I had all sorts of customers that worked for a lot of those high-tech companies, and let's just say that there's things that most people would be scared to death to know that actually exist, and they can do a whole lot more surveillance and spying on you than you would ever imagine.
Right. Yeah, so, you know, you can look at this and, you know, take the black pill mentality of, oh, well, we're screwed, so what, right?
No, yeah, and by the way, I think that's the wrong attitude. You know, we still, to your point, you know, we're in a battle. You have to do everything you possibly can to be, you know, well-armed and go up against the enemy. Let's call it what it is. Go up against the enemy the best way you can. Now, you know, I guess also I'll ask you, at what level, and I guess this is probably each individual's personal choice, you know, at what level do you get to the point to where, you know, for the most of us, myself included, I just can't go crawl into a cave and live there the rest of my life. You still have to function in society.
Right.
That's the hard part, right?
Yeah, so to, you know, it's the case that each individual is unique, right?
Yes.
So for me, I travel the country. I'm obviously pushing out a message that is anti-established.
Yeah, you're really a target, basically. Don't get me wrong. I mean, all of us that are doing this, you doing that, traveling, me being here publicly doing this on almost a daily basis. Yeah, you and I are pretty closely watched, I'm guessing.
Right. Yes. So at least I don't want to be a stupid, easy target.
There you go.
And that's like no different than me. I don't walk around in public places with a bunch of cash in my hand, waving it around.
There you go.
I'm unarmed. I don't know how to defend myself, right? But you know, I have other family members that really rarely use these devices. They only look at pictures of their grandkids, you know, every now and again. They rarely leave, you know, a certain radius of where they live. They're in a much different space, right? Mm-hmm. So they can do things to protect themselves and their data that are very simple, whereas I have to go through some additional training,
right,
and I have to educate myself.
That's
and
right.
I have to do some more things in order to make sure that when I'm staying at various hotels, I'm not putting myself at risk.
Yeah, I appreciate you saying that, by the way. It's sort of not doing comparisons, but I can really sympathize with what you're saying. It's no different than, you know, Charlie and I leaving the building here at night. I mean, there's enough wackos and kooks running around where you just have to be extremely careful and kind of always looking over your shoulder and, you know, what's going on, be observant, have that situational awareness and so on. And yeah, those are things that, you know, frankly, Sean, you and I can't ever let our guard down.
Yeah.
That's the reality of what folks like you and I have to go to.
Right. Yep.
Wish it weren't that way, but it is, unfortunately.
Yeah. It's interesting times, but you know, I believe that, it's times like this that really make humans and determine what we're really about and what we're worth. I believe that the wheat is being separated from the chaff right now.
Yep.
Those who are aware and awake and alive and really taking this stuff seriously are the ones that are going to be around over the next couple of years.
Yeah, can't argue that. Okay, so before I forget, how do folks get to you? The seminar's tomorrow. How do we find you? How do they register? Do they need to? Do they show up? How does that work, Sean?
Yeah, so if you go to mark37.com, and that's straight from Scripture, Mark 3:7,
right,
which we can get into
right
later. But mark37.com, on the top, there's upcoming events. If you click there, you'll see I'm going to be in Westcliff, Colorado tomorrow.
Perfect.
Tomorrow afternoon. And then I'm going to be in Golden, Colorado.
My hometown.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, that's where I that's my residence. Oh, yes.
Sweet. Well, I'm going to be there on Sunday.
Okay.
So Sunday afternoon. And both those events are there. You can register there. Really, you just show up.
Okay.
The address is there. And the training usually goes about at least 3 hours.
Okay.
But typically, they've gone 5-6 hours because I try to spend as much time with people and answer as many questions as possible to get people fully awake and aware.
Gotcha. And you know what? I don't know. I haven't looked that far ahead yet to see what. That's my one day a week off, but I will look at that, and if I've got the ability to come out and join you, you'll see me there and shake hands, and I'd be happy to meet you.
Beautiful. I would love to meet you, too. Even if you can only make it for a little bit, I think it would be worthwhile.
Well, perfect. Well, I appreciate it. Hey, I've got, and I know I want to honor your time. I know you've done a lot of things today. You're doing a lot of this on an ongoing basis, even what you're doing this weekend talking. I fully understand what's involved with that. In light of that, I can let you go now, or do you want to stay for another segment after we take a break?
I'm happy to stay, man.
All right, let's do it. We'll stay another segment here. And if you've got a question specifically, by the way, for Sean, give me an email or a text message, I should say. Either way works. I can do that. Text, of course, is easiest. 307-200-8222 is our text line. 307-200-8222. Send me a question. I'll get Sean to answer that as soon as we come back. All right, we are back. Ready Radio, KLZ 560, and Sean is with us. Terrio is with us. He has got a couple of different websites. First one, mark37.com. And you heard the ad, by the way, from Colorado Greenhouse Builders. And really, Annette is really from Colorado Greenhouse Builders, is the reason Sean is here. Through various people, we got connected, Sean. But that sponsor of mine, Annette, was the main reason that you and I got together. So I got to give, you know, kudos there, because she's the one that did all this and made it happen. So I'm very appreciative of that, because I would not have known you otherwise.
Yeah, I love it. I mean, it's a beautiful thing. And what I get to do is travel the country and meet so many just amazing people who are trying to save this country now, right?
Yeah, amen. Yeah. No, you're right. And it's collective. I get to have a voice and do what I do on air. You get to have a voice by doing the things that you do. And I know that not everybody out there listening has that ability to do that. And Sean, I don't take that lightly. On the same token, there's a lot of other moving pieces that have to be filled in by people other than you and I as well.
Amen. And I do believe that people are stepping up, right? And there's a lot of people who are burnt out because they've been doing it for years.
Yeah.
I can tell you straight up, I'm 43 now. When I was 14, I had my father sit me down and watch I think it was like a 7-part VHS series on the creature from Jekyll Island. It's all about the history of money and banking and what currency. So at 14, I started really realizing what the heck was going on, and I only started digging deeper and deeper over the years. So I've been labeled a conspiracy theorist by nearly every single person who's known me since then. So for now, these days, as I walk around and I can have conversations with people about the International Bank of Settlements and the World Economic Forum and what's, CBDCs and what's going on, it's like 5 years ago, people thought I was out of my mind.
They don't now, because a lot of this stuff, as you know, Sean, a lot of that stuff is starting to become much, much more open and in the public. And by the way, I don't necessarily say that by design. I just think, especially COVID, the downside to COVID, which is not what a lot of those folks, the powers that be, thought. There's been a lot of things that have come out of COVID on the good side, from, some of the things that you're talking about, to homeschooling and on down the line we go. The distrust of government even is probably at an all-time low, or an all-time high, I guess I should say, as far as the district. In other words, less and less people trust the government is what I'm trying to say, because of what happened during COVID. That was not their plan, by the way.
Yeah, 100%. And, a lot of my close friends and family members who, I wouldn't be able to have these conversations with, they would just kind of look at me with eyes glazed and say, yeah, whatever. This is America, Sean. That'll never happen.
Never say never.
And then here it is. It's happening. They're like, holy crap, you were right.
Yeah. Well, and some of this goes back to even the whole, I talk about this weekly. We spend an hour a week really talking about, we started this all the way back in COVID, everything involving COVID, the early numbers, the hysteria around it, the whole mask nonsense, the mRNA treatments, on down the line we go, Sean. And there's a lot of us, listeners included, that didn't go down that path. And what's interesting today is it's sort of like, who is right and who is wrong? We're a whole, we're the control group that are a lot healthier than a lot of the other individuals out there that have gone through, I don't know how many different rounds of shots at this point.
Right. Yeah, I'm yet to meet someone who's, is unvaccinated, right? Who hasn't had a COVID shot, who regrets not doing it, right?
I've not met a single person yet, Sean, myself included. In fact, most people, even early on, there was never a doubt in my mind what direction to head. There was never one, inkling of, hey, I want to travel, so I'm going to go do this. No, in fact, my wife and I, we traveled. We did all sorts of things. We just figured out ways around all of that. you know, did the stupid tests when you needed to leave a country or whatever the case may be. But bottom line, you know, we just figured out ways around that and, you know, did it. Still had fun, still lived our lives, and never once skipped a beat, but never got the vaccine.
Yeah, that's. I think you hit on the key thing, because, again, it applies directly to the technology piece, is if you just want to live in a life of super convenience, right, where you're not questioning anything and you're just going to go along and play along and maybe have some, you know, never have anyone look at you kind of a little funny and question what you're doing, then you're going to end up in a much different paradigm reality than those of us who are operating with eyes wide open.
Right.
And really what that means is we're just trying to find creative ways.
Correct.
To do all the stuff that we've been doing that they're trying to tell us we can't do unless we do X, Y, Z.
That's right. Uh-huh. That's right. Yeah, it's I guess in a way, Sean, I don't look at you and I as being really well, we are different than a lot of other folks. I got to be careful I say that. But, you know, I don't look at us as being some sort of whacked out weirdos that, you know, have gone off the deep end and want to go live in a cave. No, I enjoy my life. I want to keep living my life. I'm going to keep living my life, but I'm going to live it with purpose. I'm going to be mindful of what's going on at all times. I'm going to do everything I possibly can to stay protected, to win the battle, as you talked about and how we opened up today, and do that with purpose. But at the same time, I'm going to laugh, have fun, enjoy life, and I'm not going to, you know, I'm not going to skip a beat either.
Amen. Yeah, the other key piece here, man, and I don't know if I'm allowed to get into this, but it has to do with my faith.
No, go ahead. No, yeah, no. We are a God and country station. We talk about these things even during the day. This is a show that I happen to buy the time for, and I own this hour, so really have the freedom to do anything we want. But I have that freedom even on the three-hour show I do each day that follows this particular program. So the reality, Sean, is we have a I should have told you that even before we started talking. We have a corporation that I am associated with here, Crawford Broadcasting, where we even have what we call the Crawford Stand, which will play right after you and I get done today here for Ready Radio, where our president of the corporation comes on and talks about the very things that you're going to get into, does that on literally a daily basis. He is how old is Mr. Crawford now, Mr. Crawford Sr., Charlie? 78, Sean, we believe. So getting close to 80, still does that on a daily, five-day-a-week basis and plays it across our network of stations that are across the country. And you are in very, very familiar territory is what I'm trying to get at.
That's awesome. I'm glad to hear it. We need more of that. But that's amazing. So where I was going to go with that is, you know, I had a career in the data center industry, which is my forte, and I wrote a book in that industry and was actually traveling the world, training people about that industry and serving as an outsourced CTO and CIO for a bunch of different companies. And the Lord really just put in my heart after, you know, really January 6th, to be honest with you, and even before that, that I needed to leverage all of the experiences that I've had in my life and the relationships that I've had to solve the problem that existed of conservative content just being deplatformed,
right,
from the likes of Google and
right,
Amazon Web Services and GoDaddy and you name it.
Yep.
A handful of other even just software as a service companies. And I pushed back and I was like, Lord, I can't do this. I've got a family. I've got three kids. I've got this. I've got that. I've got all these excuses as to why I can't do what I know you put in my heart to do. And eventually I just had a reckoning where I was sitting down facing, you know, my Lord and Savior, and he said, Sean, do you really want to have a conversation with me that is going to go like this? Sean, I told you exactly what I needed you to do. And everything that I've led you up to today was for you to do exactly what I'm telling you to do. And you're telling me you're not going to do that. Why? Because you're afraid when you have me on your team, when I'm the one that's backing you and supporting you, when I've already carried you through how many situations, because I've been an entrepreneur basically my whole life.
You and me alike. That's the other thing we have in common.
Yeah. And so I was like, holy crap. That's really where I learned what the fear of God is I do not want to have that conversation when my time is up here in this, you know, mortal fleshly meat body. I want to be able to look him in the eye and say, and have him say, nice job.
Yeah, well done. Well done, good and faithful servant.
Right, exactly.
Yep, no, I hear you. Well, and really quick, Sean, I mean, number one, I appreciate that very much. And I think all of us, myself included, I mean, even when I had the opportunity to start doing what I do here daily, which was about 10 years ago, had that same sort of conversation internally and prayed a lot about it and had to make some decisions on what to do And, you know, really, I think probably you felt the same way. It's like, wait a minute, time out. I'm just one guy that, in my case, Sean, never went to college. I've just been a business owner since I was in my early 20s. I really have known no other way of doing it and don't consider myself to be really an expert on anything. But yet I'm going to come on air and talk about all these things that are out there on a daily basis. How in the world is that going to work out? Well, 10 years later, I'm still here.
Yeah. It's you just let go and let God. I mean, I hate to say it. Everyone says that phrase, but it's so true.
No, it is true.
The other key thing is I have so many people who ask me, as I'm sure they might do you, well, how do you know when God is talking to you? And I'm like, well, when was the last time you picked up Scripture and started reading the Word of God? When was the last time you went to God and prayed specifically
right.
for Him to move in a way in your life that is undeniable that it is Him speaking to you in your life?
Right.
It's almost always the people who are asking, well, I don't know.
And Sean, you know, to me, that goes along. I mean, this could be a whole, you know, literally a whole show in and of itself. It's, you know, how, to your point, how do you hear? Well, this goes back to what you and I have been talking about all along in our world is also observance, being observant. What's going on? You know, where are these doors that are opening and or closing? And when one's closing, don't try to push it open. On the other hand, don't try to open one that's not. I mean, those are all of the same things, spiritually speaking, that I think a lot of folks get in trouble with.
Yeah, 100%. And mostly Christians.
Agree.
Unfortunately.
Agree.
What's so frustrating for me is I meet so many Christians who, you know, say that they're Christians, and yet they don't understand when and how God speaks to them, other than them going to Mass or going to church on Sunday and hearing their
going back to that, you have to be awake and observant and paying attention and looking for the signs. And to your point, you know, not just prayer and Scripture, but outside of that, you got two eyes, ears, a brain that God gave you. Use it.
Yeah. And like any relationship, right, if we're going to say that we have a relationship with God and relationship with Jesus Christ, how frequently do you have pay attention to that relationship and spend time with that relationship other than when things get hard?
Good point.
And you're asking.
Good point.
Things, right?
Good point.
So if my homie only called me when he needed something from me, I'd be like, well,
yeah, he's not much of a homie, is he?
He's not much of a homie, right?
No, and you know, to your point, this all circles back around. Now, I also will say, and I say this a lot, you know, I am also one that's very, you know, I'm Sean, I'm one of these guys where I will share with you anything you want to ask, but I'm not going to shove anything down your throat. If you want, you know, I coach businesses as well, and it's sort of one of those things where when somebody finally decides they want help, I'm there to help. But I've also learned over the years, I can't help someone in their business until they're willing to have me help them, kind of like an alcoholic. You're not going to get off the wagon until you're ready. So I've learned, I guess, probably the hard way, Sean, that you can try to force things as much as you can, but until they're ready to hear it, it's not going to make any difference. Doesn't mean I don't need to stay sharp and be ready and be prepared and ready to give that answer anytime I'm asked, but I've also learned through the years that, you know, I can't shove that down someone's throat. But in this light and what you're doing and what I'm doing, yeah, I'm going to keep pushing that message out as much as I possibly can. Hopefully people will start to hear, understand, and make adjustments in their life accordingly.
Amen. Yeah, I mean, and God works in mysterious ways. This is where I used to freak out, because I've been doing trainings like this my whole career. I used to freak out if I only had, you know, 10, 15 people show up to an event, and I would be super concerned and worried that, you know, not enough people were there. But then I just started just letting go and realizing, well, the people that are there are meant to be there. They're supposed to be there.
Yep.
I've done everything I can,
yep.
So I just need to focus people that are there.
That's right.
And just, you know, cater to those folks.
That's
and
right.
What I found is, you know, I've developed some amazing relationships with the people who have showed up there. And they've become some of the biggest advocates of my career and my life and
yep.
whatnot. So
there you go.
I
I've learned to do the same thing. We do a lot of public events and things like that. And I've got a car show that I do on Saturdays as well, where people call in with car questions and so on. And it's really kind of how I got my start on the radio end of things. And I've learned through the years, Sean, even on that end of it, you'll go out to a car show or do different things and bring all the gear and show up. And, you know, are 10 people going to show up or, you know, 150 people going to show up? Doesn't really matter at the end of the day. I'm going to be there. I'm going to do my thing. I'm going to meet the people that show up, give them my best regardless. And, you know, at the end of the day, to me, it doesn't really matter if 10 or 100 show up. The ones that show up are what matters.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, that's what it's all about. And that's why you and I keep doing the things that we do. Oh, Rick, okay, going back to the seminar, and again, folks, if you want to learn about that, best thing to do, go to mark37.com. There is a section there where you can look at the upcoming events. Click on that. You can go to the two different events that Sean's in town for, the one down in Westcliff and the one that's up here then in the Denver/Golden area, west end of town, basically. And everything is there, where you need to go, where you need to park even. It's all listed. We'll have that up on our website a little bit later. Producer Ann will get that up for you guys as well. Sean, what else, when we talk about the website, mark37.com, what else will people find there?
So they'll find all kinds of stuff. I mean, originally when we started the site, we wanted to cater across not just technology, because it's a lot of what we talked about, but we wanted to get into homesteading and health and wellness, and we've got some fun stuff like atmospheric water generation systems that are really just high-tech dehumidifiers that will pull as much water out of the air as possible and convert that through filtration systems into, you know, drinkable water for you and your family. But at the end of the day, there's the primary focus has been on the tech, because that's really what's been resonating the most with people. And I've been self-funding this whole entire project, and so we only have so much time, energy, and effort that we can put into this. And so we've just been narrowly focused on the ghost phones and the ghost laptops and the support services and migration services. But we do have what I call band-aids.
Okay.
So if you're still on an iPhone or you're still using your Google Android phone, and you just can't get off of it for now for whatever reason, we have this product called MicLox, and it's not our product. It's another company out of Kansas, actually. Some great guys. And if you go to MicLox, it's MicLock.com. If you use the code MARK37, you'll get a discount off your order and whatnot.
Okay.
But what they do is you plug that into your phone, and it will kill the mic. So it's not sitting there listening to you all the time.
I see.
And some people will say, well, I have a Faraday bag. And for those who don't know what a Faraday bag is, a Faraday bag, if you put your phone in it, it will eliminate any kind of signal from coming and going out of that bag.
Right.
So if you're traveling and you don't want your device picking up where you're going, you can throw it in the Faraday bag.
Right.
If you want to kill the Wi-Fi connection or the Bluetooth connection, you throw it in the Faraday bag. But what a lot of people don't realize is if you have your phone in a Faraday bag, it's still listening. And it still
good point. Yeah, because it can still pick that up, can't it?
Yes. And the second you pull it out of the bag, it's going to take that recording and it's going to send it to Google, send it to Apple, send it to whoever. So this MicLock product is pretty unique and pretty cool.
And pretty cheap, by the way.
Yeah. And if you're using a ghost phone, you really don't need it. That's why I call it a Band-Aid.
Okay.
Because the phone's not listening to you all the time unless you turn on the recorder on the device
itself.
Got it. They also have a product that's called a data blocker, which is really cool. So the data blocker is so that when you plug your phone in at a coffee shop or at the airport or a hotel or whatever, that wall that you plugged into, you don't know that it's not trying to pull data off of your device.
Right.
And this gets into some pretty crazy tech, but this exists. It happens. It happens far more frequently than people even know. But when you go to plug your phone in to charge in a random place, that thing that you just plugged into could be pulling the data off of your device. It's stealing your data. It's stealing your passwords and whatnot.
Yeah, I never use those, by the way, for that very reason.
Yeah. So
bring your own brick charger. You know, folks, it's really not that difficult. And for that, honestly, and now they make enough of these that are even wireless that you can even use, Sean. Yeah, we've come to the stage where you really shouldn't have to plug in anywhere.
Right. Yes.
But people do, to your point. They do. I watch them all the time.
They do it all the time. All the time. So the data blocker eliminates that from happening so that you only get power to the device and there's no data that's siphoning off the phone.
So essentially they're blocking the data stream coming, you know, those particular wires, which is what they are. They're blocking those is what they're doing.
Right. The copper wires. That's all it is.
That's
copper
wires. That's right. Interesting. I've never done that. I never really thought of it. And that way, part of it for me is I just never trust even the power source and everything. I'm kind of a weirdo as far as all that goes. It's more of that I never thought about it in light of what you just said.
Yeah. Yeah, I had a crazy device in one of my old houses years ago where I could plug the Ethernet into it on one end and plug it into the wall. And then on the other end of my house, I would plug the same device into the wall and another Ethernet cable that would plug into a laptop. And it would send my Internet signal to the other end of the house using the home copper electrical
wire. I have the exact same device.
Yeah.
Yep.
And that's where my eye really got open. I was like, holy shit.
You know, I never really, I've got that device used to use that I don't anymore for, you know, because, you know, again, Wi-Fi has become so much better now over the years and even more secure and so on. And, you know, I don't have to tell you anything you don't already know as far as that goes. But at one time, I should have thought about that then. I never put that to, didn't put, I'm a car guy. I didn't put those two things together.
Yeah. Yeah, so we've got all kinds of fun products. We've got video or camera detectors. So, you know, again, for me who travels all the time, I've got a camera detector. I go into a location, I could go around the
You know, I was going to ask you about that. So really quick, and for everybody listening, this is where you go to a hotel, you want to make sure that nobody's spying on you. You go to an Airbnb to make sure there's no internal cameras and so on. How often do you find cameras in those types of settings?
I would say one out of every 10 places I go.
Really?
Getting them. Yeah. And in Asia, it's far worse. Like everywhere in Asia. But it's becoming more and more ubiquitous as these cameras are becoming smaller and smaller, and you can put them everywhere.
Yeah.
Right?
Good point.
And we just have, you know, crazier and crazier people who are, you know, into some weirder and weirder stuff. Right.
Yeah. You know, the other thing I noticed on your website, too, which I was going to talk to you about, because I use this operating system in my own server. I host my own websites, email, and so on, because, again, I'm kind of weird about some of that, like you are as well. But I also know from your website, you're a big Linux person as well.
100%, yes. So Linux is, you know, open source operating system for desktops and laptops.
Yep.
And there's so many flavors of Linux. And what's really awesome, it used to be like 5 years ago that you needed to learn how to code and script to be able to get Linux to really do what you needed to do if you wanted to upgrade apps or download apps. But it has evolved so much over the last couple of years that you don't need to know how to do that now.
Mm.
So my, you know, 78-year-old dad is running a Linux box right now, and he's, you know, technically illiterate, but he has no idea. Like, he's...
Interesting.
You can use it, no issues, no problems.
Yeah.
Now, going back to what we were talking about before, I really encourage people to get educated and to learn how these things work so that they can do these things themselves and not be completely reliant on other people to help support them. But you don't need to learn how to code to use a Linux operating system today, which is super cool. So we can actually ship you a box that has Linux on it, or what's really cool is you could send us your box, your laptop, and we will load Linux on it and send it back to you.
Awesome. Very cool.
And most all laptops have the ability for us to do that.
Yeah.
Even like 2012 MacBooks.
Yeah, that's the nice thing about Linux. It doesn't require a lot of power to operate. You know, a lot of how do I want to say, chip power to make it happen.
Exactly.
Speaking layman's terms as much as I can. Question just came in, Sean, as well. How can you determine if there's a tracking device attached to your car and, you know, an AirTag, things along those lines?
So there is there's two things. One is if you have a relatively new car, and I'm being like last decade or so, your car is just a mobile tracking device.
Yeah, it already is. Yes. Yes.
It already is.
Yes, it already is. Yes.
It's sending all that data back to the manufacturer.
It sure is. Yeah, being a car guy, that one I know very well.
Yeah. So I would say don't plug your phone into your car unless you're using one of these data blockers. And when it says, oh, use Android, you know, car or whatever.
Right. Android Auto is what they call it.
There you go. Android Auto. Don't do that. Please, for the love of Pete, don't do that. Because all you're doing is that car is going to suck your contacts. It's going to suck all of that information, and it just feeds that information back to the manufacturer. Mm. And if you read the terms and conditions when you bought your car, that's in the user agreement of the terms and conditions, which is no different than when you download any app from the Google Play Store or the Apple Store.
Mm-hmm.
You're signing a user agreement and clicking yes to the user, which no one reads.
No, they don't.
But that user agreement is effectively saying, I'm going to give this app whatever the heck they ask for, whatever they want, and they can do whatever the heck they want with this data. It's really no longer my data.
Yeah, good point. Good point. Okay, so that's that on the car side. Now, is there any other mechanism? So say somebody wants to just know if there's somebody outside of the car company tracking them. Is there some type of a, you know, reader or something where folks would know, hey, yeah, somebody... Yeah, ex-spouse, ex-boyfriend, something along those lines, somebody nefarious, you or I even, you know, is this something you scan on your vehicle on a regular basis? How does that work in your world?
So one of those MicLock products is called an RFID detector. It looks like a little wand, and you can use that to go around a room or your car or whatever, and it will basically tell you if there's any kind of device in that room that's trying to send a signal or receive a signal.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Gotcha. I just looked that up. They call it the hidden device detector, right?
Yep.
Yep, I see that. Which, by the way, is not very big, not very expensive. We'll put these links up, by the way. And really quick, so I can make sure I put this in our notes, what is the discount code for that coming from you guys?
It's Mark37. That's it. M-A-R-K-3-7.
Easy enough. All right, I'll put that in my notes for folks as well. Yeah, by the way, this is just fabulous information. And for all of you listening, Sean Terrio is with us, and he's going to be having a couple of different seminars, one down in Westcliff tomorrow, the other one over in the Golden Area on Sunday. All of that information is on the website he just mentioned a moment ago at mark37.com, so you can go there and find all that as well. Mark, how much of what we just talked through, do you get into all of those nuances in the seminars?
Yeah, it go way deeper, right? We only hit the
we only have 50 minutes or so to get into all of this, so.
Right. And I will even have a lot of these devices. So I'll have the phones, I'll have a laptop, I'll have a handful of those MicLock products and whatnot available for people to check out and even buy if they feel so inclined.
Got it.
So all that stuff will be there as well.
Got it. It's been a joy having you. And again, I know we try to cram a lot of things into a very short amount of time, but you've been just, Sean, a wonderful guest. And again, I wanted to be, sensitive to your time, and it's been awesome. Is there anything, I got a couple of minutes left here, is there anything that we didn't cover that you wanted to throw out to everybody?
The key one is if you go to the website, which, by the way, in about a month, the whole website's going to be revamped and look totally different. But for now, if you go to the website and you go to resources, you'll go to basically our forum page, where any question you could possibly think of that I haven't covered today is going to be available in that forum. So you'll have all kinds of questions from customers, ones that we already preceded that we knew were going to be common questions. So you can learn a heck of a lot more there. You'll find questions that you didn't even know you had there. The other great resource is our blog. So I used to have a Substack account that's Truth in Love. truthinlove.substack.com, but I'm starting to migrate a bunch of content from that Substack account over to the website, and that's a long story as to why, but we basically realized that Substack is not this bastion of free speech that we thought it was. But
okay.
So on the blog page, I have an article that I think everyone will appreciate. It's called Boycott Big Tech, Resources and Guidelines. And I encourage everybody to read through that, because that will break down a few things. I also have a live recording of one of the trainings that I've done. I have the PDF, presentation that I use up there. I have all kinds of great resources in that article. So I encourage people to check that out.
Awesome. Sean, as you probably can already tell, welcome anytime as new things come up for you and you just want to get some things out to, our listeners. We do this show an hour every single Friday from 2 to 3. I've got my daily show that we do 3 hours and the first hour replay, so really 4 hours a day, 5 days a week, and then I've got some other shows I do on Saturdays as well. So anytime you've got something that you want to throw our way, throw back out to the listeners, come on air again, you name it, you are more than welcome here at any given time, and I appreciate all your great information. This has just been fabulous.
Thank you, John. I appreciate you and the work that you're doing. Bless you.
Well, likewise. And if I can get out to see you Sunday, I sure will, Sean.
Please do. I hope we can meet.
All right, man. Appreciate you very much. Have a great rest of your day.
Thank you.
You bet. Appreciate it very much. And again, Sean, it's TARIO, mark37.com. All right, we are back. Not much time left. I went a little bit long with Sean because I didn't want to interrupt him a second time with that break, but I really appreciate him joining us. Some of you have even texted back in, what is his website? We'll put this up at ready-radio.com a little later, but for now, mark37.com. So mark37.com, and then there's links there to some of the other things that he was talking about that even Charlie and I were just discussing during the break, that hidden device detector and so on. That's at the mic-lock.com, and you can use Mark37 as a discount code there. So that is today's program, Ready Radio. Again, a website, ready-radio.com, right here on KLZ 560.
Views and opinions expressed on KLZ 560 are those of the speaker, commentators, hosts, their guests, and callers. They are not necessarily the views and opinions of Crawford Broadcasting or KLZ Management, employees, associates, or advertisers. KLZ 560 is a Crawford Broadcasting God and Country station.